Welcome to Pop Culture Mantra from PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm here today once again with Anthony Bongiorno.
Hey!
Welcome back, Anthony.
Thank you so much.
We're doing a mini-sode. Hopefully it turns out being mini. Sometimes they're just medium-sodes.
Yeah.
I have been binging shows in summertime.
Yeah.
So I've been looking for light fare. So
sometimes you need something to take the edge off that's not too heavy.
Right.
In this day and age.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
exactly.
You needed some escape.
I know. In this economy. Listen. So last episode I was talking about Superstore, but then I went back and I started watching Happy Endings, which was a show that had what? Three seasons. Technically 50, but the first season's barely a season.
Right.
It had, all in all, I think 57 episodes.
Well, the first season has how many episodes? 8? 10?
Something like that. But then they also played out of order.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into
which
that.
I didn't know until you told me.
Yeah.
Happy Endings ran from 2011 to 2013. It was an ABC show. It was an ensemble show. Most people, if you've never seen it, you've seen it on Netflix or Hulu and you've ignored it, because this is the image that you always show for it.
Yeah.
And it's the
all
whole
of them in bed.
It's the every couple. They're not all couples. It's every character in bed together. And I think that was a bad way to sell the show.
Why?
Because it's more just about a group of friends.
It makes it look like a sex romp.
Yeah, it looks like everyone's fucking everybody, and that's not at all what it is.
Yeah, and even the title is kind of like a double entendre, happy ending.
Right, it's like a jerk-off joke, and yeah. It's not that. You've got, there are six characters in it. No, wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, there are six characters in it. Only one of them is a couple, and then you've got the other couple that like are at the heart of the show, but they break up.
On the first, yeah.
Right, the pilot, the idea of the pilot is these two characters are about to get married, and then she leaves him at the altar, and that's the pilot. And then she comes back, and they're like try to remain friends, and the group tries to stay together. But that doesn't really end up being what the whole show is at all.
That kind of fades by season two. That's not even really.
No. Well, by season two, spoiler alert, and there'll be spoiler alerts because we're talking about an old show. By season two, they start dating again.
No, I think that's season, or by the end of season two, I guess.
Yeah.
Because in three, they're together.
I binged them all, so they're all going to meld together
for
me. So the show stars Eliza Coop as Jean.
She's the best.
She is the type A, like, businesswoman. She's very wealthy. She's very strong-willed. She controls things. She plays Tiger on Future Man.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet, but I've heard it's really good.
She's great. Eliza, is it Elisha? Eliza Cuthbert?
Alicia.
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 Alicia Cuthbert, who was the girl next door. She was the teenage girl that Luke Wilson has an affair with in Old School.
Oh, yeah.
The boss's daughter. But in season one, they don't give her anything funny to do. They don't realize that they should make her funny until I think the end of season one.
Yeah.
And that her thing is like, she's the dumb one.
Yeah.
You've got Zachary Knighton as I guess you call him the main male character, Dave, which I gotta say,
he's the Ross.
Yeah. I don't like him. He's sort of, I don't like his character, and I also don't like the actor that much. And I don't want to rank on the actor.
He's fine.
He's a little mid 90s sitcom-y guy. Where I feel like he's not on the level of the other guys.
Okay. I like him.
I don't hate him.
I think his character's a little boring, but I like him.
His character's definitely boring. Maybe the breakout is Adam Pauly as Max. And Max is gay, but he's not at all any of the stereotypes of a gay character.
Yeah.
He's sort of the schlubby, doesn't have a job, doesn't have any money kind of guy.
Yeah.
And we see him in relationships, but he's not at all. And I'm trying to think, at that time, 2011, you already had the Neighbors from the Sarah Silverman program.
Yeah.
And they were sort of a challenge to stereotypes of gay people.
Yeah.
But for, I guess, a mainstream show, this was a little bit of a, maybe not groundbreaking, but I think it was an interesting turn.
Yeah, because it's not like the Kiki Friend. It's
right.
Like a fully fleshed out character who defies stereotypes.
Right, exactly.
And the joke, the Sarah Silverman did it, but it was also based around a joke.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, like the original joke was nobody knew if they were brothers or lovers.
Yeah, yeah.
This is much more straightforward. Like, no, this is just his character.
Right.
It's not, the whole thing isn't a joke.
Right. Right. And they were also more like potheads than Sarah Silverman. Like, yeah. That was their thing.
Yeah.
Damon Wayans Jr. is great. He plays Brad. He's Jane's husband.
Yeah.
And they're the wealthy couple. They live in a beautiful, like, condo with a terrace.
Yeah.
And they pay for everything. And he's always in a suit.
Yeah.
And he's like, he loves life and he's very sweet and nice. And, like, he's totally fine with his wife being the boss.
Yeah.
He left New Girl to do this.
Well, Happy,
I think. Or am I wrong?
He did the pilot of New Girl.
Yes.
Then got hired on Happy Endings. Did Happy Endings till it got canceled and then went back to New Girl.
Right, right, right. But then left again. He's not in the last season of New Girl.
Oh, I didn't watch the last season of New Girl.
But actually, when he came back, I think he's the best peer of New Girl when the ensemble had all of them, including him.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. He's really funny. And his father, Damon Wayans.
Coach, right?
Yeah, he was coach. Yeah. His father, Damon Wayans, plays his father in one episode of the show.
Yeah, it's a great episode.
And then your favorite.
My fave.
Casey Wilson as Penny Hearts.
I love Casey Wilson. I love Penny Hearts. Casey Wilson, I am in love with because of the podcast Bitch Sesh, which she co-hosts with Danielle Schneider. And she's also June Diane Raphael's writing partner. They wrote Bride Wars together. I just think she's so funny and such a great talent.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about her is she was one of those people who was fired from SNL. And I actually didn't like her on SNL because she wasn't the right – she just wasn't a good fit.
And some people aren't.
No. And she's one of those people – that like after
Sarah Silverman was on and they never even used her.
Yeah. And also Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Right.
Like she's one of those people who just like really came into her own as a talent.
They all have in common that they're women.
SNL. Yeah. And SNL Michaela Watson too was on the same season and got fired with Casey Wilson and is now like really good.
Jenny Slate
and Jamie Slate too. Yeah.
So SNL's not good for women.
No.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. The only I feel like this is off topic, but like the only woman who's ever said that like she loves SNL is Tina Fey.
Right.
And I feel like that's just because SNL and Lorne Michael were really good to her.
Right.
But a lot of the other women have said like it's a horrible working environment.
And whenever you talk about that, Lorne Michaels is like, but Gilda Radner,
And Casey Wilson is very good friends with Kristen Wiig. And Kristen Wiig has kind of stayed silent about how she feels about SNL. It'll come out eventually.
Interesting.
But anyway, Penny Hearts is just the best character. And I just
how would you describe
Casey.
Her in the dynamic of the Friends?
Because it's always compared to Friends, the original Friends. Is that what you mean?
No, that's not what I mean. Just in that group. What is her? She's sort of the outlier with Adam. They're like often put together.
I would say I feel like the show is often compared to Friends. And she's kind of like the Phoebe.
Right. Well, she... Her stories are always about her trying to find love.
Yes.
And get married.
I love the season that's the year of Penny.
Right, right, right. her mother is Megan Mullally.
It's amazing.
Who's like a hippie and like raised her weird.
Yeah. What's her dynamic? I guess she's...
She's very quippy. She's, I think, one of the funniest characters.
Definitely. And I love that she has a history with the two sisters, because the two other women are sisters.
Yeah.
And so sometimes she brings up the fact that, like, they all grew up together, and, like, sometimes the sisters would gang up on her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the show is kind of fast and loose in what the backstory is, because then there's an episode in season 3 where they say a lot of them met on a Real World season that was never aired.
It gets kind of... I have the hunch...
It gets chillier as it goes on.
Yes, because they also like never got great ratings. And I have a hunch that they kind of were like, season 3 is the fuck it season. Like, we know we're not going to be picked up.
Yeah.
So let's just like go bananas
season
with it.
Season 3 does get more crazy.
Yeah.
Like, there's a great episode in season 3 where Max... They get into like a prank war and Max faces death to fuck over his friends. It's like, it gets more ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I feel like the real heavy hitters on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great ensemble, but I feel like the ones who made me laugh out loud the most are Penny and Max.
Yeah.
Penny, Max, and Jane too. Jane's really funny.
You know, the same person who made this show, who's her husband,
David Cass,
then made the show Marry Me, which she was the star of.
And it was based on his relationship with her during.
Right. And it was her and Ken Marino, who's in an episode of He's an episode of Happy Endings. He's Dave's therapist that does start dating Penny.
Yeah. Well, you know what David Cass is doing now?
No.
Is that show Black Monday on Showtime. That's supposedly really good with Andrew Rannells and Regina.
I haven't watched Hall. Is that the show that's like it's after in the 80s, yeah. 80s stock market and crash?
Casey Wilson is on it, yeah.
Okay. She's really good. I feel like, you know, the weird thing with Marry Me was, I think it's one of the best pilots ever. And then as the season went on, it got worse. And I don't know if the network got involved. And, like, I've never seen a show start so strong. And then with every week,
it's... Up All Night did that. Don't you think? I feel like Up All Night was
I don't think it started at its apex. I think it got stronger.
Okay.
And then went down again. Whereas I think Marry Me starts at its... The first episode is the best episode, which is so rare for a TV show. Yeah. And then every episode else, it got weaker and weaker and weaker. And then they finally canceled it, which sucked because I loved it. It had a lot of potential.
It was only one season, right?
Barely. I don't even think it finished its first season. Okay. And she's great. And she deserves that. Casey Wilson deserves that starring role.
Yeah.
She was great as the... there's something she does in that show that I do all the time, and I think it's something she improvised. She's got a thing of popcorn, and she like puts her tongue in it, and the popcorn sticks to her tongue. And she's like, "You like that? You like how I eat that? You like that? Like a lizard." And I do that all the time when I'm at the movies. She's brilliant. They're all improvisers, right? They all come from that world of like comedy. Scott Aukerman and all that shit.
Yeah, they all came up through the UCB.
Have you ever seen her and Scott Aukerman do Baby It's Cold Outside?
Yes.
But it's like a realistic version of it.
She got so much hate for that on Twitter. She was talking about on her podcast.
Oh, really?
Many people were like, she was like, you know, like pardon my language. She's like, so many people are like, "You fucking bitch. Like, how dare you?" And she's like, "Wow, a lot of people just do not want to see that holiday song go away."
All right.
And I was just like, "Do you have to ruin everything with your stupid movements?"
Yeah, yeah. All right. I have to say this. I do think that the song is about a woman who wants to be with the man but feels like she has to come up with an excuse for it. That's the way that I read it.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the way it's supposed to be read.
So I do think it's a little disingenuous to be like, "Oh, it's a song about date rape." But that's a funny sketch.
The one lyric that is eyebrow raising is, "What's in this drink?"
Right, right. But then she says, "At least I'm going to say that I tried." Yeah. I think it's about... Yeah. Anyway. But anyway, that's a funny sketch. She's really funny. I just saw the Netflix movie Always Be My Maybe with Randall Park and Ali Wong. And she, of course, plays like... She's in two scenes as like the decorator. Friend. You know, she's coming in.
Her joke is always that she's the friend.
She's always there.
She's like, "You probably see me as the best friend in a lot of..."
Right, right. If you don't know who Casey Wilson is, just Google her and you'll be like, "Oh, her."
And her only dramatic role to date is she was in Gone Girl.
Really?
As the pregnant neighbor.
I've never seen Gone Girl.
Gone Girl is a great movie.
How is she in it?
And it's got really interesting... David Fincher did some really interesting casting because he also cast... Tyler Perry in a serious role too.
Did David Fincher do
that Fight movie? Club?
No, but there's another movie that's like all comedians, but it's not really a funny movie. It's that movie with Matt Damon as a con artist. I don't know if that's it might be.
He's got a weird catalog.
I think it's always interesting when comedians are cast in...
People like to see comedians doing dramatic roles, I feel like.
Like, if you ever see Martin Scorsese's Casino, like, Don Rickles is in that, and one of the Smothers brothers is in that, but, like, in serious roles.
Kristen Wiig has done a decent amount of dramatic roles at this point.
Yeah, I think she's very good, Kristen
Wiig. She is really good.
She's fantastic. She's a gem.
That Lifetime movie with her and Will Ferrell.
Oh, you know, I've never actually seen that.
I've seen it. They play it straight through the whole thing.
Lifetime must have at some point got it, right?
Yeah, I think so. But what's funny is neither one of them ever copped to that it was a joke. Like, I saw her being interviewed on a late night show, and he was like, "What was the deal with that?" And she was like, "We just really like the script." But then, like, kind of smiled. So it's like, they must have just been like, "Let's do this for a goof."
Right, because those movies shoot in like a week. So it couldn't have been much on... And they probably took no pay or whatever, like took a little amount.
Yeah, yeah, it's just so funny. They play it totally straight. It's just a Lifetime movie with them in it, just giving it their all, unironically. It's so,
so ridiculous.
It's just like, it's so funny because the unironicness is what makes it ironic.
Yeah, 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 yeah. All right, getting back to happy endings. You know, speaking of Casey Wilson, so the main, so the character Dave and oh, what's Dave's, who's the Alicia Cuthbert's character? Alex. Dave and Alex, they're the ones that get that break up at their wedding in the first episode. They eventually get back together, but there's a thread in season two where they are. It looked like they were going to put Casey Wilson with Dave.
Yeah, Penny has a crush on Dave.
Right, and that goes on through the whole season, and like even I think he thinks of, like, I really wanted to see that thread come through. Yeah. And I don't know if they
I think they were just playing with things to see what was going to work.
Maybe if the show went on. I mean, three seasons is a good amount, but for a network show, they're always planning for
now,
more.
Now, it's been a while. I don't really remember. Remind me, how does it end? Doesn't season three end with kind of like a lot of unresolved?
Season three ends at the wedding of their third sister.
Right.
And but isn't they break up again. They decide, Alex and Dave, who have been back together through all of season three, decide that they're better off as friends.
But and then
they do something weird. They decide that they still love each other, but they want to like explore the world more. So they do like a, we are gonna leave each other, but then come back.
And then isn't there trouble between Jane and Brad?
Like something, yeah.
Yeah.
Because then they did that Lost episode, which was ridiculous. Did you see that?
Yeah, I've seen it.
And that's like, he's living in the wood. Like, they want, they just made that like a joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's got a pretty loyal cult following,
I think. It does. What about Derek? Let's talk about Derek.
D-Rock?
D-Rock.
I love that Brad only calls him D-Rock. He's so funny because he came in as a joke character.
Right.
To be like the foil to Adam Pally's character because he's like just a really stereotypical gay guy.
Right.
But then it's just funny that then they kept bringing him back.
Yeah. He like kept popping back up in random places. It all comes from an episode where Casey Wilson says to Max, like, I like, you're not the gay best friend I always wanted. Like, you're my gay best friend, but you're not what I want. And then he finds Derek and is like, is this what you wanted?
Yeah.
And they love but it then he's at first. Too mean. Right, right. But when they first meet, she's like, I love you. I love you. Are we in a fight? No, stop it. Shut up. And like, he's exactly the stereotype she wants. And then eventually he's too mean. And then, but then he comes back. Like when Dave joins a gym, he goes to the same gym as them. And like, he just comes back random times. And he's always like happy to be back.
Or he's like, you know me. Actually, I don't. We just met.
Derek, he's great.
And then Brad's like, who's that guy?
Derek is played by Steven Guarino. He was in 7 episodes altogether.
Yeah. They were from and Max introduced him as somebody he met on a gay softball league.
Yeah, yeah. Then you've got Rob Corddry has a recurring
that's
character.
That's a great episode because then at the end, the conclusion is that actually Penny is Max's gay husband.
Yes.
And they show all the like stereotypical gay things that she does. And they have that great montage where she's like, front row tickets to Gaga, bitches. Yeah, then they show her going like, my ridiculously fat manicurist is literally trying to kill me.
Yeah, they're the fun couple.
Yeah. And they used to date.
Right.
One of my favorite
episodes. When he was in the closet, they dated.
Is when she meets his high school girlfriend.
Yeah.
And is really crazy jealous of her.
Yeah.
But then it manifests in her being really, really nice to her.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's so weird.
The show is comparable, I think, in some ways to New Girl.
Yeah.
Well, actually, let me see if I can find it. I have some quotes from the creator talking about why he thinks they were canceled and how what he thinks it would be like now if they were on. Because, by the way, this is the kind of show that people are always like, bring it back, bring it back.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've got some quotes. This is from Casey Wilson. I really think we suffered being in the crosshairs of network TV, thinking they should have higher ratings and not realizing that they were at the beginning of the end. The ratings were better than a lot of network shows that are on now. but we got lost in the shuffle of the panic about network, which is still happening. Even if it came out 3 years later when people started realizing we had good numbers, we would have hung on, which is a bummer. Maybe it's best to leave people wanting more. We would have loved to have at least another season.
Yeah.
So it was not getting good ratings, but nothing was at that time. That was when, you know, people were turning to Netflix, people turning to Hulu, people turning to Amazon, people were turning to cable, like AMC, right. and you know, they wanted the old ratings that they used to get.
Yeah, but I guess it kind of just, it does make sense. It kind of hit at the wrong time.
I think she's right. The ratings that they got would be considered successful now. What they consider successful ratings now is insane compared to, like,
what they used to.
What it used to be. Like when Johnny Carson had all the ratings in the world because he was the only popular show on three networks at that time.
Well, isn't it goes by like share of the audience, right?
Well, there's two metrics. There's share and then I forget what the other one is. But there's two metrics.
I just remember seeing a pie chart that like compared Friends to the Big Bang Theory.
Right.
And it was like when Friends was on, it had this much of the audience watching, and Big Bang Theory has this tiny little slice
and that's
of the
a audience huge watching. And that's for a CBS. Huge
success. Yeah.
But if you go back to like Beverly Hillbillies or like The Munsters, their fucking ratings are insane compared to like what's considered
nothing else was on.
Exactly.
So it doesn't even mean that people liked the show.
It just means it was the only fucking thing on.
Yeah.
I worked with a woman once. She retired now. And she was telling me that when she was younger, she worked at Macy's. And she said, I would work on Monday nights and there would be no one there. And I was like, well, why? And she was like, well, I Love Lucy was on.
That's so crazy.
And to think that something would be so popular that like people aren't even out on the streets.
Right.
It just blows my mind. Even you think about like Game of Thrones just ended and everyone's like, oh my God, Game of Thrones. But like the amount of people that watched the end of Game of Thrones probably is nothing compared to the average episode of fucking Friends.
Right. Or like, you know, you think about like, they always say that like the series finale of MASH, like the world stopped
to
watch. And I'm sure, I mean, even now I feel like still people aren't like, I gotta get home to watch the series finale of anything.
Right.
Even Game of Thrones, I feel like people who are really big fans like time shifted it and watched it later. And just avoided the internet to avoid spoilers.
No, absolutely.
Which is good. I mean, because it puts the consumer in control more than they ever were before.
Right. I wish, now having just watched it all, I do wish it had gone on because I think it was getting stronger. And, you know, I don't know if it's brilliant or canceled. But, you know, even that has become a cliche that I don't like anymore.
I think because
I don't like any of the new Arrested Developments, and I feel like we should have left it alone.
Oh, yeah. I feel like Happy Endings is one of those shows that, like, the premise is not groundbreaking at all.
Because
it has been called derivative. It's been compared to Friends a lot. Like, even the characters, like, match up with the Friends characters. But it's just good TV because it's good writing and good performance.
Right. It's so funny, it's like, dialogue.
It's just good.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to be. It's proof that like it doesn't have to be the most original thing in the world to be good.
Right. You know, that's the thing about the sitcom is it's got to be a situation. But it's like every good sitcom eventually bails on their situation.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean? Like fucking
like Three's Company.
Three's Company, right, exactly. Yeah. Three's Company is like the best example. Like it's supposed to be he's pretending to be gay because he lives in a house where
and I feel like that he's not allowed to live with women. But like that kind of like fizzled out by the end of the first season, I feel like.
It would be a joke with Mr. Furley because Mr. Furley would hear him say something gay. Like he'd be like fixing a pipe and he'd be like, get in there, shove it in there. And Mr. Furley would be like, woo!
Yeah, that's so homophobic.
But it wasn't what the show was about.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No.
And people say, oh, Seinfeld's a show about nothing, which, of course, that's not true. There's no such thing as a show about nothing.
Well, it's because
Seinfeld didn't have
a situation.
Yeah. Right, it didn't really have a situation.
Even Friends, the pilot, is like Rachel runs out on her wedding.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's very similar to
Happy Endings. Yeah.
Yeah, but right, exactly. But even then, like, exactly, once a show gets up and running, it's about the characters and their interaction and the dialogue and this week's story.
Right.
And that's it.
Well, even New Girl, the original situation was like, it was the opposite of Three's Company almost.
You're right.
It was like, she's this quirky girl that was kind of like weird and she moves in with these three dudes.
Right.
But then, by episode three, it's like not about that anymore.
Right, exactly. Every character is fleshed out and they figure out what to do with every character. Right,
exactly. Even the fact that it's called New Girl, it ends up becoming like not the best title for what that show is.
Right. Dude, maybe Happy Endings was a bad title.
Yeah, it's not a great title.
I just rewatched a show that had two seasons that I thought was brilliant and has the worst title, Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Yeah, that's a bad title.
That's a first of all, it's a mouthful.
Right.
Secondly, the word is bitch, but you won't allow yourself to say it. So,
well, I think it was originally supposed to be bitch, but then the network was like, wait, we're not going to do that.
Right. So they should have fucking changed it to anything better.
Right.
It's a brilliant show, and it was a contemporary of Happy Endings.
Yeah.
There's even some Happy Ending jokes in it. And it had two seasons, and people were like, what is this show? It's about an apartment? What's a bee?
Yeah. That was like, there was that show, what was it, GCB? That was originally supposed to be Good Christian Bitches, but then they were like, we cannot have that be the title.
Right, so no one knows what the fuck GCB
means. I feel like at the end of the day, the lesson we always learn is that the networks don't know shit.
Yeah.
Why do they still have so much control over the creativity when they're because always...
Because they write the checks.
But they're always wrong about what the audience is going to respond to, I feel like.
Well, I think everyone involved has to prove that why they have a desk. Have you ever heard the great story? I probably told this on the podcast before. Have you ever heard the great story that Joe Dante tells about making Looney Tunes back in action?
Yeah, I think you talked about it before.
I'm sure I did. But anyway, he got a bunch of studio notes, and one of the notes was, who's Doc? Why is he always asking, up, Doc?
Yeah, it's so
stupid. And Joe Dante actually framed it and put it in his house because he was like, this is the worst. This is a guy who just felt like he had to say anything.
This is the worst note I've ever gotten, right. Probably.
He's like, I had to say something because I've got to prove why I have a desk. So, and I clearly know nothing about Bugs Bunny because I'm like, what the fuck is, who's Doc? Like, that's the thing. I think they just have to prove, hey, I'm here for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, but then again, I think a show can go too far. I just watched the documentary about the Dana Carvey show.
Yeah.
The Dana Carvey show was on for one season in the 90s. It had, it was head by Dana Carvey, but on the writing staff was Louis C.K., Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert, a bunch of great people, and they were also in the cast. And it was this weird sketch comedy show, and it was on after Home Improvement. And there is the very first sketch of the very first show was Dana Carvey as Bill Clinton, but then he opens his shirt and he's got a bunch of teats and the milk's coming out of them, and he's like feeding babies, and the network was like, please do not, like, don't make that the first sketch of the first episode.
Right.
And the network was so right because the show was funny and it's thought of now as like a cult classic, but they shot themselves in the foot immediately. Coming out strong, like, this is who we are, fuck them immediately up, and then the show never recovered.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think, I don't know. I'm obviously for the artist, but sometimes you come across people that are like, no, the artist should do whatever they want. Well, and that's like, no. That episode, then we'd have Han Solo be a green lizard.
Oh, my God. That episode of 30 Rock in the first season where they go to, like, meet the prince who's played by Paul Rubens? Steve Rubens? PB Herman.
Paul Rubens, yeah.
Yeah. Tina Fey says that they called that episode Goodbye America because they're like, this is going to be the one that gets us canceled.
And you know what? I agree with that because that episode is totally off.
It's so weird.
It's,
and she cites that episode as when they went from being an ambitious show to being a critical weird darling.
Yeah.
And she's like, that episode is like when we took a turn.
But I would even say that it doesn't fit with the later stuff too. I think it's an outlier in it never got this weird again.
And it comes so soon. It's like the fifth episode of the first season.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's she says in her book that like they were she was like, the truth is we were trying to make a great show and we did it wrong.
Right.
She's like, we didn't aim to be this weird little critical darling. We actually were trying to be successful.
Well, I think that's the thing. Like, when someone's like, I don't care about the audience, man. I'm doing it for me. This is what I like. I think that's the wrong attitude. I think you should care about the audience and entertaining people.
Right.
Although putting it on after Home Improvement, which at the time was the number one show, but was so saccharine.
Right.
There's a part in the documentary where they have Steve Carell and they have all the guys there, and they show them a promo, and it was tonight on Home Improvement, a very special episode, and it's the episode where they think Jonathan Taylor Thomas has cancer, and he's like, "Dad, I don't want to die."
Oh, yeah.
And then it says, "And afterwards, the Dana Carvey show," and you see Colbert just crack up, like, "Oh my God, this was how did they ever think this was gonna work?"
You know, speaking of like shows that, you know, were dominant because there wasn't much else on.
Home Improvement.
Like, yeah, like you think about, like, we watched like every episode of Home Improvement.
Yeah.
And loved it.
Yeah.
And it's like now it's probably unwatchable.
Yeah. And a lot of it was like sight gags. It's like, oh, look at the tool he's about to use. Like, it was just like so stupid.
It makes you wonder. I don't know.
Well, watching Toy Story 4, I was like, wow, like you could tell this franchise started in the 90s because Tim Allen.
It's Annie Potts, Tim Allen. And
First of all, Annie Potts is a fucking treasure forever.
She is, but she's not the name she once was.
No.
Designing Women when the first Toy Story happened.
Yes. Yeah. And Ghostbusters wasn't that far in the past.
Yeah.
Tim Allen, it's like he's still he's got to be Buzz Lightyear, but
yeah,
no one
else.
Well,
I'm sure Disney would love to distance themselves from Tim Allen at this point, but they can't.
Yeah, Last Man Standing.
Last Man Standing got fired from ABC even though it had good ratings.
Yeah.
Got fired. Got canceled.
You know, one of the girls from Booksmarts was in that show.
Yikes.
But they don't if you look at like the Booksmart like press tour, they never mention it. It's almost like they don't want to be.
Which girl?
Not Beanie Feldstein, the other girl.
Oh, the other girl was on Last Man Standing.
Yeah,
she's good.
Yeah, she's great. But it's like they don't want
to associate
themselves with such a
because
known conservative darling.
It's not even that. I think it's also that the show, kind of like the new Roseanne, like became a statement,
right?
In itself.
Because it got canceled and then someone else brought it back.
Right, exactly. And it became like, I wonder if everybody involved in that show actually
cares,
supports that.
Oh, no, it's probably just Tim Allen.
Yeah.
But it's funny, I think Last Man Standing's been on longer than Home Improvement was. It's been on a long fucking time. But just goes to
show, there's so many shows that have been on forever that like nobody watches.
Well, here's something. I don't know if we've talked about this before.
Like, I didn't watch a single episode of Happy Endings when it was on TV.
I watched it. Like,
I didn't even
know
it was on.
The first time a week ago.
Yeah.
What do you think about this question about three-camera sitcom versus one-camera sitcom? Three-camera sitcoms are cheaper and they're more traditionally television, but contemporary audiences think of them as more corny.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like,
I like to think about all the single-camera shows now that would have been three-camera if it were 20 years ago. Like Modern Family for sure would have been a three-camera sitcom.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that's. Remember, speaking of Up All Night, remember they were gonna suggest that Up All Night changed.
Did they do that or no?
No, it was one of the pitches to save it.
That would have been crazy.
They were gonna turn it into a three camera sitcom.
That would have been insane.
It would have. It just would have not fit. I don't know. It just would have been so weird.
There's an episode of Scrubs where they did it as a bit. And I guess in some ways the live episodes of 30 Rock are three camera sitcoms. They're kind of like SNL episodes.
Yeah. It's also like if you think of it the opposite way, like think about how different Big Bang Theory would be if it were a single camera. And it's so weird that the spinoff of Big Bang is a single camera.
Right. With Annie Potts in it. Yeah. But, you know, look, I'm wondering though. Is single camera necessarily better? Because it seems like people say, oh, no, it's definitely better.
It's just what's trendy right now. It's just...
Yeah.
I think that's really it.
Yeah.
I think because at one time it was associated with better shows, so now everybody does it.
Yeah.
Like the Goldbergs is another one that would have been a three camera.
Oh, absolutely it would have been three camera. Absolutely.
Fresh Off the Boat. I mean, really all of those family sitcoms would have been three camera.
Right. ABC still does it, but I think NBC...
No, CBS still does it, I think.
No, I do. I'm talking about one camera.
Oh, yeah.
ABC still does it. NBC has Superstore, which is one camera. But they famously, they produced the pilot of Kimmy Schmidt and then didn't go to series with it because they said to Tina Fey, we don't want to do this kind of comedy anymore.
That's interesting.
And then CBS had Big Bang. And so CBS did three.
So NBC didn't want to do like weird stuff anymore.
No. Or they didn't want to do single camera.
Well, if you think about it, like...
Because single camera is like a movie. It's much more expensive, takes much more time, costs a lot more.
Well, I'm thinking about it now. Like, NBC kind of has rebranded because Conan was so weird. Mm-hmm. And they had him on The Tonight Show for a little bit. And then I feel like they've kind of tried to rebrand. It's like, we're not that weird thing anymore.
No. Well, now they've got Jimmy Fallon fucking
who's so, like,
playing beer pong or whatever the fuck he does.
He's just so, like, about a people pleaser.
Yeah.
What are even any sitcoms that are on NBC besides Superstore?
Fuck. I have no idea.
I feel like this is interesting because this conversation about happy endings has turned into just a conversation about sitcoms.
I'm fine with that.
Which is I'm fine with too, because they are really they're interesting. I had a professor in college who was a sitcom director, a sitcom writer, and he really bought in. And I remember him saying to us, like, sitcoms are brilliant. Like, sitcoms are so thoroughly American. They're so they're just like an amazing art form. And he was just like totally bought in.
They're totally alive in the medium of television. Because think about how often sitcoms are you're in your living room watching your TV and you're seeing their living room through your TV.
Yeah,
and the camera's even where their TV would be. Right. It's like a mirror world.
Right. I remember he showed us the Mary Tyler Moore pilot in class as like an example of a perfect pilot. He showed us the Roseanne pilot,
which
is now problematic to show.
But it's still
a perfect pilot. I was going to show it in my class, and I
used to show it and I stopped.
I swapped it out for the pilot of Blackish instead.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
To teach the same thing.
Blackish would be three camera now.
Yo, 100%. Yeah. And he also was at the time Ugly Betty was a huge success.
Yeah.
And he showed us the pilot of Ugly Betty and said that it was like an example of a really well done pilot.
But that's single camera, wasn't it?
It was single camera, but it was technically a sitcom. It was a half hour.
Right. Interesting. Well, you know, they say though.
And it was America Ferrara's big break.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, sitcom, three camera is. That's like the cushy job. Like if you act on a three camera, like you work like 1 week a month, like you go, you leave at 5 o'clock. Like they say, it's the best job in TV.
Well, because there's like no on location. There's no. Everything's in the same three sets.
You just do it. It's also. I mean, there's also something like classic, like Greek theater to it. Like it's just a proscenium that you're just watching people. You know what I mean?
Like, well, it's kind of like what people say about stage versus film. Is like you're forced to be more creative and inventive when you only got like a couple sets to work with.
Right. You've got to,
and you can't go everywhere.
Which is why they came up with the sitcom thing of people get married in their house.
Yeah.
Which is something every sitcom does.
Yeah, but nobody does.
I don't think anybody
life.
In the real world has ever done ever.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know what bothers me? This is way off topic, but now that we're talking about
sure.
it.
Sure.
You know what bothers me in movies and TV about weddings?
Yeah.
Nobody ever leaves their wedding to go directly to their honeymoon.
Right.
Like they always have a wedding, and then at the end, the bride and groom are like leaving with their suitcases to go on their honeymoon, and it's like no one does that.
Yeah,
the wedding is over, and then you go on your honeymoon the next day or the day after.
Right. Well, that's fucking media.
Yeah, lies.
Like in Die Hard,
lies that they tell us.
In Die Hard, the Nakatomi Plaza is having a Christmas party on Christmas.
Exactly.
No one do that. That's crazy.
No one would do that. It makes no sense.
Even the coke fueled days of Nakatomi Plaza. yeah. I mean, that's it. Roseanne and what do you call it? Married Children were sort of like
they were supposed to be like
revisionists.
Yeah,
but then like we kind of went back to that's the thing. I think that the medium of three camera sitcom is what it is. I don't think it wants to be different because every time they try it, it doesn't work. Like remember Louis C.K. had Lucky Louie, and that was a three camera, but it was on HBO, and there was cursing and nudity.
Yeah,
and he also did it all live, like the Honeymooners.
Yeah,
and I felt like it was an interesting experiment, but it didn't work.
No,
I think it has to be.
It like worked as like a novelty.
Yeah,
not based on its own merits.
Yeah, yeah. Well, everybody. This has been the Happy Endings episode. If you haven't watched Happy Endings, go and check it out. I believe it's all on Hulu. We were going to say before, the first season, this is more network nonsense. The first season was completely aired out of narrative order because why? Why did
they
do that?
It was too similar to another show that was on at the time, so they wanted to – they moved the – ending episodes up to earlier in the season.
But it's not even that clean. Like,
oh, it's horrible.
Like, it's literally like shuffled. Like, and if you're watching it, you're like, wait, what? Like, it doesn't make any sense the way they aired it.
In the second episode, they're like living, like there's a character, like Dave's living with them, but then he moves in towards the end of the season.
Right, right.
I actually, and it's actually a big deal because I didn't know that it was out of order. And yeah. for some reason on Hulu, they have it in the way it aired on TV in the out right. of order order.
Right.
So I tried to watch it once unsuccessfully because I was like, this fucking show doesn't make sense. I'm not, yeah. And I stopped. And then I went back again and rewatched it in the right order. And I was like, oh, this is much, much better.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I watched like the first three episodes and I was starting to feel like this doesn't make sense. I thought this person lived here or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you told me about it and then I had to find the order and I was – it was insane. Even and one of the episodes never even aired for some
yeah,
reason.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like at the end of the pilot, it's like, okay, I left you at the altar or whatever. Like, let's try to be friends.
Yeah.
And then in the next episode, they're just like – they're friends again and they never even mention the wedding.
Right.
And then – like,
then like two episodes later,
it's like, oh, he left me at the altar.
It's still fresh, yeah.
Yeah, it's so, it's weird.
But even in season two and three, sometimes that would come back up, and I would get the feeling that, like, that was the studio going, hey, remind people of the, reset the table, remind people of the situation here.
Right.
Because it's like, yeah. All right, everybody. This has been Pop Culture Man Children. This has been a mini episode about the ABC sitcom Happy Endings. Pop Culture Man Children is a podcast that is available anywhere you can find your podcasts. You can follow at Pop Culture Man Children, one word, on Instagram. You can see images of toys and stuff. And Anthony, you're on Snapchat?
No.
All right. Anthony's not on Snapchat. All right, everybody. Go bye-bye.